live and Lansing. Jack Ebling is on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Scott Eckersley. Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. This hour of Ebling and You is being brought to you exclusively by AT&T. Find out what's possible when you can record your shows and play them back in any room with AT&T Total Home DVR. AT&T, rethink possible. Very happy to welcome in our first guest today, and that is Susan J. Demas of Capital Chronicles. Hello, Susan. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, I'm just fine. You have just written about the Republican convention and maybe a couple of surprises along the way, including a little bit of a contest for lieutenant governor. Apparently, the Tea Party element was not very happy with Brian Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, usually these nominations go through without a hitch. You know, it's pretty much whoever the gubernatorial nominee wants. But, you know, this year's convention was fairly raucous, and you definitely had some of the Tea Party candidates who thought that Brian Kelly was too liberal. So they came up with their own nominee who tried to run for Congress for Pete Hoekstra's seat, and he actually came in fourth in a seven-way primary, but they thought he would be a better choice for lieutenant governor.
What is it about Brian Kelly that did not appeal to this element of the Republican Party?
Yeah, you'd think he would have just the kind of pedigree that they would want. You know, he's been in the legislature for 4 years, which, you know, doesn't exactly make you a career politician. He's an investment banker with a trust fund. He's a fundamentalist Christian. You know, he's checking off lots of boxes that Republicans tend to like. But he has a history with business taxes in the state that a lot of people don't really like, because nobody likes the Michigan business tax or the surcharge. And, you know, he's voted and written some of those laws.
Yeah, I saw that the Democratic machine immediately tried to tie him to the Michigan business tax. I think used the word architect. And we heard other people speculate that that was stretching it more than a little bit. Do you see any indication that that's his handiwork and he's going to have to pay for that somewhere along the line?
Well, for the Michigan business tax itself that was adopted back in 2007, he was one of the principals in negotiations, but, you know, in the end, I don't think that, you know, he deserves all the credit or all the blame, you know, by any stretch. I would certainly expect Virge Bernero to attack him on it. He successfully attacked Andy Dillon from both the left and the right, so I'm sure he'll do the same thing with Rick Snyder. But, you know, as far as his role in it, it was fairly minor, but I think it'll still be used against him because he does have one of the bills. One of the bills in the past was his, so, you know, there is a direct link there.
It's interesting when candidates get attacked from both sides, really being nipped at from their own party as well as from the opposition. I guess you expect one of those, but when you get it both ways, what does that tell us?
Well, I think it tells you that, you know, people will attack on whatever they see as a weakness, and certainly most people, you know, from either party don't like the Michigan business tax. So, you know, they'll attack Rick Snyder and Brian Kelly for it and hope it gets full traction.
You have a great description here of the difference between Republicans and Democrats in the state. You say Republicans tend to be the more organized of the two parties. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And conservatives tend to like order in everything they do. But you say the GOP is built around an ideology. Democrats, basically a collection of interest groups.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's the old Will Rogers line. I belong to no organized political party. I'm a Democrat. You know, that's very true. You have union groups and African-American groups and women's groups and, everybody gets together. But it's not really around an ideology, which is why you see kind of a lack of a coherent message from Democrats.
I want to get back to this idea of Republicans going after anyone who had anything to do with taxes. And apparently Brian Kelly wasn't the only one who has been involved in this. If you want to go back to 2006, there are some other individuals with strong GOP pedigrees that we could talk about.
Right. I mean, you know, pretty much some of these Tea Party activists seem to have a problem with anybody who has voted for any kind of tax ever. You know, whether they're voting for a tax that people thought was going to be better and cost people less money, just any kind of a vote seems to be an issue with them. And so that opens up a whole lot of people, not just Brian Kelly, but most of the Republicans in the legislature who voted for the same thing.
That would include L. Brooks Patterson and Dick DeVos, correct?
Well, they didn't vote for it, but they're the reason why we have the Michigan
right,
Business
Tax. Right, it was because of people who had that idea that something had to replace the single business tax, and this is what we have left. We had a chance yesterday to talk with Mike Rogers, 8th District Congressman. And he was talking about one of the problems in the system, these third-party organizations that are so involved in the campaign and have made it very difficult for there to be any kind of consensus. Sounds a little bit like the kinds of things we were hearing Joe Schwartz say.
Yeah. So is he talking about outside groups,
yes,
like the ones that were
exactly
running all the nasty ads in the gubernatorial race?
And others,
well, I mean,
yes,
that's a direct result of the Supreme Court striking down McCain-Feingold and opening up the process to all these third-party groups to do whatever they want. You know, if you want to get rid of these groups, you need serious campaign finance reform, and I'm not aware that Mike Rogers supports anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Who does support serious campaign finance reform?
Well, John McCain used to, but I understand that he no longer supports a lot of things he used to.
That was the old John McCain, right?
Election.
That was a John McCain that you saw a lot of admirable things from.
I liked John McCain quite a bit, but I liked him less as the 2008 election went on, and he pandered to the extreme right by picking Sarah Palin. And he seems to have gone even further to the right by supporting things like a very draconian immigration law in Arizona just so he could save his hide in the Senate. So it's kind of hard to say what he really believes in anymore.
I want to get back to Brian Kelly and the lieutenant governor nomination again for just a moment. And it looks like we have the Michigan Chamber of Commerce and the Tea Party on opposite sides here. And Rich Studley calling these attacks unfortunate and grossly unfair.
Yes.
Do we have a line drawn here where we're going to have the chamber and the Tea Party at odds on a lot of things?
No, I don't think so, because, you know, I think most Republicans see the Tea Party as re-energizing the base and the party. And so nobody wants to tip them off, even though, you know, some of the things that they're supporting are very destructive. You know, they're going after people for just doing their jobs and making decisions as lawmakers, which is what you have to do. You can't vote no on everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's not being constructive. And I think people like Rich Studley understand that, but they're not going to draw a line in the sand and attack the Tea Party, because otherwise you wouldn't have too many people excited about the Republican Party at all.
Susan, before we let you go, you were talking about Rick Snyder and the fact that Virge Bernero was able to tag Andy Dillon with some charges during the primary that may not be quite as easy to pin on Rick Snyder. What is going to be the toughest part for the Democrats in attacking Rick Snyder? And in your mind, is it going to take a minor miracle for this to be a competitive race?
Yeah, I think that it's going to be very difficult to go after Rick Snyder because, of course, he has no record to go after. He hasn't been in office.
Right.
He's also been the nice guy in the race. He wasn't throwing the punches in the primary, and people really weren't throwing punches at him. Mm-hmm. So people have a very positive image of him. I think you'll see that the line of attack will be on Gateway and outsourcing. And hit the stock option deal. And the Democrats will just go extremely negative, and the goal is just to knock down his numbers as much as possible, not really to win the race, but to make sure that the Democrats don't lose everything, like the state house, for instance.
We have seen Virge Brennero in the late stages of a campaign before, and we know that he can be a very serious campaigner. How much could he cut into these margins that we see are maybe 20 points or more?
Yeah, I think Virch is a very good politician, and I think that Mark Brewer is a good strategist. So I think that they'll be successful in narrowing it. I think they could get it down to single digits, but they're facing a very strong headwind for Republicans, so mm-hmm. it will be a challenge.
Susan J. Demas writes Capital Chronicles, and you can read that in many newspapers and online as well. Susan, the best place for our listeners to read your copy?
To go to mlive.com.
All right, that's where I see it. Thanks so much, Susan. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having me, Jack.
We'll be right back. We're going to talk with Joe Rexroad of the Lansing State Journal coming up next on Ebling & You.